But I want you to be in prayer for them as well. Take your Bibles out this morning, if you would. And let's open them to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. And again, this morning, we're going to examine just one verse of Scripture and really just one word in that verse that describes the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of every believer, so that when Christ Jesus comes to live within your heart and life, the Spirit of God sets the work within you to produce fruit. And the goal of these sermons on the fruit of the Spirit is that we might understand, appreciate, and even desire that activity or that work, that it wouldn't be something that we would resist or war against or not appreciate or want, but that we would sincerely desire the Spirit of God to be completely free in our lives to produce the fruit of the Spirit within us. And I want you to understand how vital this is. In the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus taught believers how kingdom people are supposed to live, which is what his Sermon on the Mount was all about, right in the middle in Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, Jesus said, and he was actually speaking about false teachers, so this is the negative side. He said, by their fruit you will know them, or you will recognize them by their fruit. He said, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? And that's the negative side. But then he goes on to say that a good tree produces good fruit. And he's talking about God's people in whom the Spirit of God is at work producing the fruit of the Spirit. And so the Bible teaches that this is something that is vital and something that is very real. So the Apostle Paul says this is what God wants to do. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. And so, the Spirit of God sets to work to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And it is by this fruit that you will be known to be a child of God. And the name of Jesus will not only be glorified, but he'll be exalted in this world because of what God's doing in your life, child of God. Okay, that's the plan. That's the purpose. Now, each one of these have impact, or each part of the fruit, and remember, there's one fruit but nine flavors, each part have impact in our lives in different ways. And if you think about it, those nine different flavors, all of them are unnatural in the sense that we're not necessarily born with these things. We're not necessarily born with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That is, the Spirit of God has got to work within us to produce these things. So it's supernatural in that sense. But you know, if you think about it, eight of the nine are things that we tend to desire. So who doesn't want love? Who doesn't want joy? Who doesn't want peace? And we might not be quite sure about patience, but we all know we need it. Kindness, okay. Faithfulness, yes. Self-control on the end, certainly. But when it comes to gentleness is one aspect of the fruit that, quite honestly, if you've ever thought about it, you weren't quite sure of. And I say that because of what it is or what it means. In fact, you can really see how unnatural this is, and certainly unnatural in the sense of what we might desire for ourselves when you look at the King James, the way the King James translates this word. It comes out meekness. Meekness. Okay? Anybody want to be meek? Anybody want to be known as meek? There's not a whole lot of men, certainly, that would say, hey, I want to be meek. In fact, if I were to call somebody meek, if I were to say, well, Steve Broadway there, he's a very meek man, that would almost be an insult. I mean, he wouldn't necessarily want people to know that he's meek. Meekness or gentleness is not necessarily something that we really care for. In fact, if you decided that you wanted to be meek or that you wanted to be gentle, and so you thought, well, you know what, I need to read a book on this. So I'm going to go down to, the bookstore, if there are any of those things left. I'll tell you what, let's go online and let's just search for gentleness or meekness, and let's find out what kind of books we can get to read so that we can be more gentle or meek. You know what? You're not going to find any. You're going to find the opposite. In fact, I just did a little search this past week, and I found these interesting titles. First one, Winning Through Intimidation. Winning Through Intimidation. Right. Now, that's a good one. Here's another one, The Art of Manipulation. The Art of Manipulation. But here's the one I really like. Think Like a Warrior, The Five Inner Beliefs That Make You Unstoppable. Nothing about gentleness there. In fact, gentleness is not something that we would desire. We want the opposite. If you're going to succeed, you've got to be ruthless. You can't be gentle. And yet Jesus said, again in the Sermon on the Mount, when he was laying out the beatitudes or the blessings of life, the third beatitude, he said, blessed are the meek, that's the King James, the Holman translated in Matthew 5:5, the gentle are blessed, for they will inherit the earth. Notice, it's not the aggressive, it's not the intimidators, it's not the manipulators, it's the gentle who will inherit the earth. And so God says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put my spirit to work in your heart, in your life, to produce gentleness. So first of all, let me just help you to understand what gentleness is. Because when we think of that word gentle, or we think of that word meek, we may have some negative connotations. But let me just help you with a positive connotation here, okay? Or let me just give you the positive definition of it. Gentleness literally means strength under control. Strength under control, okay? Now just write that down. Gentleness is strength under control. When God says, I'm going to produce gentleness in you, what he's saying is my desire is to bring your strength under control. Let me give you a classic illustration of this. A horse. In fact, when I was a boy, our family had horses. We raised horses. And so I learned to ride at a very young age and to take care of a horse. And we had several of them. One of the horses that we had was a sorrel, an old red horse. He was a gelding. He stood over 17 hands tall, which for a little boy, that's a tall horse, okay? His hooves looked like, I don't even know, what to compare them with. They were huge. He was the biggest, he had muscles upon muscles. I mean, he was just a big, strong horse, and we did all kinds of things with him. Not only did we ride him, but we used him for work and those different type of things. And he was just a magnificent, powerful animal. But he was one of the most gentle horses that we ever had. Us kids could crawl all over him. You could put the smallest child on that horse, that child would be safe. We crawled through his legs and under his belly, got up on the wrong side, the right side. It didn't matter to him. He would just stand there. He had the power to crush me. And yet he never did, because he was gentled. His strength was under control. And when God says, I'm going to set my spirit to work within the heart and life of a child of God, what he's saying is, to produce gentleness, what he's saying is I'm going to bring your strength under control. Now, what I want to do for the next few minutes is just talk a little bit about what that means, okay? Or how it looks like, or how it comes out practically in our lives. I just want to mention three areas: how we act, how we react, and then in our speech. Gentleness, first of all, in how we act. In how we act. Now, As with all the other fruits of the Spirit, when God sets His Spirit to work within us to produce fruit, basically what He's doing is He is producing His life within us. Each aspect of the fruit is actually just part of the life of God that comes within us. We sang a song about the gentle shepherd. Lead me on, gentle shepherd, however the words go. Well, you know, that's biblical. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, the Bible says, He protects His flock like a shepherd. And He's speaking here of the Lord God Almighty. The sovereign God, the ruling God of the universe, says He protects His flock like a shepherd. He gathers them, He gathers the lambs in His arms, and He carries them in the folds of His garment. He gently leads those who are nursing. And so God here is displayed as that shepherd who has the power to strike us down with thunderbolts, but when we, like sheep, go astray, He doesn't strike us down. What He does, like a shepherd, He draws us back to Himself. His power, His strength is under control. And God leads us like a gentle shepherd. Aren't you grateful that He doesn't zap you with a thunderbolt as soon as you mess up? So when the fruit of the Spirit is on display in my life, my strength, my power is going to be under control. What I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be acting towards others, not according to my strength, but according to the control of Christ in my life. I want to illustrate this in kind of just a special way if I could. I need the help of a young man who might come up here and help me illustrate this. Troy, would you be willing to come up here just a second, brother? All right. Troy, come right up here. All right. You're going to help me, okay? You willing to? Troy, how old are you, son?
9.
You're 9? Okay. Hey, you shake hands, right? Okay. Troy, hey, just hang on to me a minute. Wait, stand right here this way. All right. Now, what I want you to do, brother, is I want you to squeeze my hand as hard as you can, okay? I want you to hurt me. Man, give it to me. Just go ahead. Get after it, man. Come on. Just squeeze it. Go ahead. Anytime, just squeeze it. Hard as you can. Okay. All right. That's good. Man, that hurt, man. You're pretty strong, brother. Okay, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to squeeze your hand as hard as I can now, okay? It's just fair, right? Right? Okay, are you ready? Okay, you ready? Seriously, here we go. No, man, I'm not going to do I wouldn't do that to you. You know, brother, I have the power in my hand. I'm not real strong, but I got pretty strong hands. I have the power to hurt you. But I would never do that, brother, because you're my brother in Christ. And by the way, for coming up here, I got some M&Ms for you. Thank you, brother. You can go back. Now, beloved, I kept my power, my strength under control in the way I acted towards young Troy, right? I mean, I had the power, I had the strength maybe to hurt him bad, but I didn't. I kept it under control. You know, the only time that Jesus ever really got ticked off at His disciples, I want you to think about this for just a second. Jesus is teaching. People are coming to Him, and He's got His disciples there, and He's teaching and everything. And there's some parents that show up with some young children. And they say, hey, we'd like to see Jesus. We'd like Jesus to lay hands on our boys and our girls and bless them. The disciples aren't having any of that. The disciples are like, get those snotty-nosed kids out of here. I mean, we're doing ministry here. We're teaching. We don't need a bunch of brats running around here. Get them out of here. And Jesus, the only time He really got ticked off His disciples was He said, whoa, whoa, whoa. The way I memorize the verse, King James, suffer the little children to come unto Me and forbid them not. Jesus said, for such is the kingdom of God. And then in one of the most beautiful verses in all the Bible, it's in Mark 10:16, it says, after taking them in His arms, He's talking about the children. So I just want you to picture Jesus there, and all these children are gathered around, and he just draws them to himself. And the scripture says, after taking them in his arms, he laid his hands on them and blessed them. Now I want you to think about that, beloved. The strongest hands of any man who ever lived, Jesus. With those hands, he healed the sick. With those hands, he raised the dead. With those hands, he took 7 pieces of bread, 2 fish, and he fed over 5,000 men, wives and kids, maybe 20,000, 5 pieces of bread, 2 fish in his hands, the most powerful hands in all the world. Jesus kept the earth spinning with his hands, and yet the most powerful hands in all the world. Scripture says he took the children and he laid his hands on them and blessed them. Beloved, that is power under control. The Bible says that God is going to set his spirit to work within you to put your power under his control. That's gentleness. So gentleness, first of all, in how we act. Secondly, in how we react. It's been said, and I think this is probably true, that life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react or respond to what happens to you. 10% what happens, 90% how you respond. Now that first 10%, for most of us, we can't do anything about it, right? I mean, there are some things that happen to you that you can't control. There's stuff that goes on every day that you're not expecting and all that. So you can't honestly control what happens to you, but you certainly can control how you react to what happens to you. 10% what happens, 90% how you react. And you know what happens is, for too many of us, we use what happens to us as an excuse to behave badly. I do an awful lot of counseling in my ministry, and a number of years ago I was counseling a man whose wife had left him. His marriage really was falling apart, and a big part of it was because he had abused her. He had abused her verbally, he had abused her physically, and she had finally just had enough of it and said, "I'm done." And so as we were sitting there, as I was talking with this man, he said, "But you know, Brother Greg, she would do things, she would say things that would just set me off. Couldn't help it, right? It was what she did to me. So ultimately, it was her fault, right, that he abused her verbally and physically. And that honestly was the way he felt about it. He couldn't help it. She just wouldn't say those things or do those things or act in those ways. If she had just been the right kind of wife, he wouldn't have abused her. So what he was saying was, "I'm reacting, and I can't control the way I react." Now, beloved, let me just say this again. You may not be able to control what happens to you, but you can always control how you react to what happens to you. We can't blame others for the way we react. In fact, Jesus is our example in this. Let me give you an example from Scripture of Jesus. Luke chapter 9, Jesus is on his way with his disciples back to Jerusalem for the final time. There he's going to go and he's going to be crucified. He's been up in Galilee teaching, and he comes back through Samaria. And in the 9th chapter of Luke, Luke tells the story about how Jesus sent a couple of the guys into one of the villages ahead of time. It was getting late, and they wanted to spend the night there. And they go into the village, and the Samaritans aren't having any of it because these are Jews, and they don't know these people or what's going on. So they just tell them, "Listen, y'all go somewhere else. All the inns are full. Forget it." And so they basically turn them away. They don't even give them the basic hospitality which anybody ought to do for anybody, certainly in those days. And the disciples were just incensed by that. In fact, James and John came to Jesus, and Luke tells us at that point that their nicknames were Sons of Thunder for good reason. James and John came and say, "Jesus, let's torch them. I mean, call down fire from heaven and let's just make them toast." In other words, this is what they've done. Let's react with fire. Scripture says that Jesus rebuked them, basically saying, I came to save people, not to torch people, man. The power of God in the hands of Jesus under control when he reacted. He went on to Jerusalem. He ends up getting arrested. He was beaten mercilessly. He was nailed to a cross. He was crucified. And you know, there's an old gospel song that goes, he could have called 10,000 angels. And you know, he certainly could have. Peter, 1 Peter 2:23 puts it this way, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he was suffering, he did not threaten, but entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Now there's Jesus. He could have reacted with fire. He could have wiped out everybody that did or said anything to him negatively, but Jesus, with his strength under control, the power of God under control, died for the sins of the world. And beloved, this is what God says I'm going to do in your life as the fruit of the Spirit produces his life within you. Gentleness in how you act and how you react. And then lastly, I just want to mention how you speak. How you speak. You know, it seems to me over the last number of years that the public discourse certainly has been disintegrating. That is, how we speak and what we say about other people. How we speak, it seems to me that we're becoming more and more profane. And I say that, and I would admit to you that I'm a sailor. Okay, I spent 8 years in the Navy, and folks, sailors are some of the most profane people in this world. And I heard it all. I've heard every type of profanity and cursing that you can imagine. I've said most of it, too. And yet, I'll be honest with you, I'm shocked these days with what comes out of the mouth, sometimes of small children. What comes out of the mouth of women? One of the reasons, and there's plenty of other reasons, but one of the reasons that I don't get on Facebook is because of the vulgarity and the profanity. I'm shocked, but I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I'm shocked when things come out of my mouth. I heard a story about a pastor who needed a lawnmower, and he found one in the newspaper being advertised, and so he went over to these folks' house to look at it. The mom and dad were gone, but there was a young boy there, and it was a push mower, and he was showing this pastor the mower, and so the pastor said, well, let me start it and see if it runs. The kid said, okay, go ahead. So pastor starts pulling on the cord, and it won't start. Finally, the little boy speaks up and says, my daddy says you got to cuss that mower for it to start. And the pastor said, well, son, I haven't used any profanity in over 20 years. I don't even think I can remember how to cuss. Little boy said, keep pulling on that cord. It'll come back to you, I promise. Yeah. And, you know, I can understand that. I can understand that because sometimes the sailor comes out, right? And it's just interesting to me how we can flame on other people, how we can use our tongue to curse. But not just that. It's not just how we say things, but it's what we say and how we tear people down. You know, the public discourse, especially in our politics these days, if somebody disagrees with you politically, what really has come about these days is you're allowed to say anything and everything that you want to. If somebody disagrees with you or you don't like somebody else, just go ahead and say it. I can't imagine, honestly, in my mind, why anybody would want to run for public office in our country today. Because you know exactly what's going to happen. The other side is going to demonize you. The other side is going to tear you down. They're going to try to destroy you. And that's our politics today. But you know what occurs to me is that our politics really is just a reflection of who we are. I mean, quite honestly, we do the same thing to one another. If you're not sure, just go on Facebook sometime and see what people are saying about other people. This is another one of the reasons that I personally stay off Facebook. I don't want to hear that mess. And you know, the Bible says that God wants His people, or He wants their speech, to be pure. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, the Bible says, no, what's this? No foul language is to come out of your mouth. And beloved, that's not just profanity. That's what you say about other people. No foul language is to come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear. In James chapter 3, James talks about the power of the tongue. And he says the tongue is a small part of the body, but it boasts great things. Consider how a large forest fire, a small fire ignites, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among the parts of our bodies. It pollutes the whole body. It sets the course of life on fire, and it is set on fire by hell. And he's speaking about something that each one of us possess. Just think about that. With your words, with what you say, you can bless someone, you can curse someone. You can build someone up, you can tear someone down. And God says, I'm going to set my spirit to work in your life to bring your tongue under control. It really does matter how you speak and what you say. In Proverbs 15:1, the Bible says, a gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. The Lord Jesus saves us. He comes to dwell within us, and He sets His Spirit to work in our lives to produce the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Who doesn't want those things? But also gentleness, meekness. And this morning, I just want to ask you, are you strong? Praise God. We're not looking for weak. We're not looking for weakness. We're not preaching that you've got to be a doormat, people to walk over. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, or asks the question, is your power, your strength, is it under control? Let me tell you how the Lord Jesus brings this under control. In Matthew 11, Jesus says, all of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How does the Spirit of God produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life? He produces it as He works, as you walk yoked by Jesus, yoked to Jesus, the gentle Savior who leads like a shepherd. And He produces in the life of the child of God the fruit of the Spirit. So this morning, we need that activity, we need that work. In our action, in our reaction, in our speech. Now let me ask you, first of all, have you ever put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Because if it's not happening in you, it might very well be because the Spirit of God doesn't dwell within you. You were created by God, for God, and He gave His Son Jesus to die on a cross for your sin. And if you would confess your faith and give Jesus your life, He would come to dwell within you and set the Spirit to work. And life now becomes exactly what was intended when you were created. Or maybe you are a child of God, but you've been resisting the Spirit. What you need to do is recommit your life. You need to come back to Him as that gentle shepherd just draws you back to Himself. This morning, He's saying, come home, prodigal. Come home, child. Let me work in your life. As the Lord speaks to our heart this morning, as the Spirit strives within us, I'm going to invite you to come to Jesus. Father, I would ask you this morning that you would just take over, and in the freedom that comes in Jesus, Lord, have your way in our lives. God, I pray that in our actions, in our reactions, in our speech, Lord, that people would see Jesus. And I ask this in your precious name.